Matthew 5. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. This is Jesus. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek." Everybody say meek. "For they will inherit the earth." Father, we thank you for your word today. It is life to us. And Lord, we ask that you would let your word settle in our hearts, that it may germinate and bring forth much fruit in our lives. In the strong and mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone said, amen and amen. Now, when you think of the blessed life, oh, thank you, there they are, hallelujah. When you think of the blessed life, everybody say the blessed life. Of course, this is a series that I started several weeks ago, and I am just amazed by what God is teaching me. But the blessed life, you tend to think of all the good things in life a person enjoys, and that's true. And let me assure you that that is God's intention for his children. He is wanting you to experience health. He is wanting you to experience joy. He is wanting you to experience peace. He's wanting you to experience victory on every level. But it's not without battles. It's not without adversity. And so we understand the heart of God by what he says, but there is real evil in the world to overcome. But we have the victory that overcomes the world, right? And that is our faith. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, and I've shared this before. I'm just giving you a little rehearsal on this. Proverbs 4:18, one of my favorite verses, especially as I'm growing older. "The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines brighter unto," and ever brighter, "unto the perfect day." What is the perfect day? Of course, that is the day that we enter into glory. And so we don't get darker and dimmer and more depressed as we grow older. And some of you, you might be in a prime of life and you're like a rocket. You're going straight up and you don't have to go down. You just keep going. Somebody say amen. And so these Beatitudes are the opening statement of Jesus to a world in sin, a world in darkness, a world that doesn't know how to live for God, who doesn't know the will of God. And Jesus is just, he's just blowing it up with, "Blessed are those who simply obey God." And in this case, the meek. And so Jesus teaches us the blessed life in the Beatitudes, what we call the Beatitudes, all of those blessings that he proclaimed when he opened up his ministry. Now, having a blessed life does not mean you're going to have the perfect life. Come on, somebody. You know, having a blessed life doesn't mean that. Because nothing is perfect in this world. And so in an imperfect world, serving a perfect God, we have things to overcome. And we see this in the parable of the blessed life, what I call the parable of the blessed life in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus says this. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he or she is like. He is like a man building a house. He is claiming his territory. He is inheriting the earth." Somebody say amen. "And he dug deep." What did he do? He dug deep. He took time when nobody else was watching, when nobody else was saying, "Oh, you're a hero. Look, you're building a house." No, he dug deep beneath the surface and laid what? The foundation on the rock of God's word, the rock of Jesus Christ, his principles, his words, his ways. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not be shaken. Look at your neighbor. You're not going to be shaken. I said, you're not going to be shaken. For it was founded on the rock. But he who heard, what? Heard the word, heard the gospel, heard the things of God, and did nothing, is like a man who built a house, same house, same type of house, but he missed one thing. He didn't obey the word of God. And on that sand, this man built his house. Not on a rock, he did not. And against that house, the streams beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And so the blessed life is one that you are obeying the word of God. You are building every part of your life, every decision in your life, every consequence of life. You are coming back to the word of God and found. And when you're messing up, you come back to the word of God. Somebody say amen. You come back to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you do that immediately. You have to. But it's the one that is standing when all the storms have ceased. And guess what? The storms will cease. They do go away. Everybody say amen. Amen. The blessed life is the one that's standing, but the one that took time to build a life based on the word of God. And so let's look at this next beatitude of Jesus. We've covered two so far. It's so good. I'm so refreshed today. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit what? The earth. Are we inheriting the earth right here in this building? Are we inheriting the earth physical? This is not in the sweet by and by. We're gonna reign and rule with Jesus in this earth. Oh yeah, and that's part of it. But we inherit the earth now. And so it's so interesting that the meek implies that you are teachable. The meek implies that you are not stubborn. And it certainly implies, when it speaks of what Jesus speaks of, the meek shall inherit the earth, it's not the violent that's going to inherit the earth. Somebody say amen. Now, it may look like it, in where wars and warmongers and extremists that do not value life, how many understand they will not be long for this world? It just won't happen. It's not the powerful that inherit the earth. It's not the evil who inherit the earth. It is the meek. Think about that. It's the meek that inherit the earth. And so recently, I think it was after my first message on this series, there was a young man who came to me after the service. And it was so interesting. This young man came to me and thanked me for all that God had done for him in this place, him and his wife, and they just recently moved to West Virginia. He was studying law, and now he's an attorney in West Virginia, and he understands the seven mountains and governing and reigning and ruling in the seven mountains, one of them being government, mountains of influence in the culture. And so he had a little comment about my message and about the Beatitudes. And it was in particular about this Beatitude that I'm going to share today. And in our conversation, he mentioned, blessed are the meek, blessed are the meek. And he told me a story that I had never heard about a rancher who likened the Christian life, listen closely, to breaking wild horses. The Christian life to breaking wild horses and making them useful and powerful and beautiful. Look at your neighbor and say, you are useful, you are powerful, and you are beautiful. And so he used this phrase that I had never heard before. All right. You are useful and powerful. All right. But listen, this is so good. You got to get a hold of this. Because he used a phrase that I had never heard that caught my attention when it came to this rancher. This rancher called breaking wild horses, meeking or being meeked. M-E-E-K-E-D. Meeked. Everybody say meeked. And so in this message of Jesus, the meek shall inherit the earth. Don't, you've gone too far. Stay right there. I'm not at Jonah yet. I'm getting there though. You see where I'm going. I can actually see. We finally got a screen up there. I can see what's happening. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, we're moving into the 21st century. All right. We just love the word here. We love the word here. That's why we love Jesus. And so, anyway, let me go on. So this rancher, he called the process of breaking wild horses being meeked. And to be meeked is to be yielded to the master. Yielded to the master, ready to serve whenever and wherever he leads. A wild horse is not like that. A wild horse, what do? They run away from being meek. They buck, they resist, they throw off so that they can maintain their lifestyle of being wild. Instead of attaining their potential and their usefulness as a horse. And so it is with Christians. We resist many times. And I remember when God was meeking me, when he meeked me, when I was converted. I remember how I was resistant, how I would not yield, how I continued to throw off the things of God until finally, through the prayers, I guess, of my brother and sister and others, and so many at the church that I got converted, I yielded, everybody say yielded, my life to Jesus. Now, there are those of us who know God who still need to learn this process. And so the story of Jonah, there it is. The prophet Jonah was assigned, listen to this, by God to go to Nineveh. Remember that story? And the city of Nineveh, the city state of Nineveh, was a very wicked place. So much so as very similar to Sodom and Gomorrah. God was going to wipe it out. And so we see here that God called a man to go to Nineveh and proclaim the message of what? Repentance. It's not unlike our message. It's not unlike, you know, we have to have that in our hip pocket. You know, when we're witnessing, when we're sharing, we have to have repentance right here, ready to draw, right? And so that was the lead message of Jonah. And so Jonah, being the wild horse that he is, and that he was, it says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. How would you like to have a book named after yourself? And the first and second verses, the second verse says, God said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And the very next verse, I don't share it on the screen, but the very next verse, without hesitation, it seemed, this wild horse, Jonah, ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. Not to Nineveh, but to Tarshish. Ran in the opposite, 180 degrees in the opposite direction. How many understand Jonah needed to be meeked? Say it with me, meeked. If there are things happening in your life that you are dissatisfied with and that you know you need to overcome, then I'm going to tell you, and you haven't yet, you're going to be meeked. You're going to be meeked. I know that doesn't make anybody happy, but I'm going to make you happy by the end of this message. Because I'm talking about the blessed life. I'm talking about the blessed life. That I want to do it. You don't want to hear it? Who said you want to hear? Oh, you want to hear? Okay. You're going to hear it anyway. I thought I had a heckler. I don't have a heckler. I have a friend. Hallelujah. I'm back after 2 weeks and I get a heckler. Wow. No, I do not. He's a blessing. And so your meeking process, listen, Jonah, he needed to be meeked. And guess what? The people of Nineveh needed to be meeked as well. And so the meeking process may not be in your life like Jonah. It may not look like Jonah, but it could be close. Why? Because God's people, or people that God wants to reach through you, need you to reach them. And so Jonah was running away from the blessed life. He was running away from God. All you have to do is obey God. That's all you have to do, is just submit to Him in every situation. Pray to Him. Believe Him. When bad news comes, just, Lord, I know you, this is not your intention. This is an attack of the enemy. I resist that. Or, Lord, I submit to you. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so the blessed life that God had for him was in the opposite direction. He was not to go to Tarshish. And so Jonah got into a boat. What happened? He headed to Tarshish in the opposite direction of the will of God. And guess what? He met the master of meekness in that boat, the Lord, our King and our God, who, guess what, had a storm handy, had a whale, a huge fish on standby, following that boat. God knew what he was going to do to help Jonah with his meeking process. Remember, the meek shall inherit the earth. And we don't like to be meeked. Wild horses do not like to be meeked, but I'm so glad that I was meeked. And so, Jonah's story, we know. These crewmen, they were desperate. What is going on? Jonah's just, he's hoping the ship goes down. He just wants the ship to go down. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh that bad. And then when they find out that Jonah's the cause because he's resisting the will of God, Jonah just says, throw me overboard. Can you imagine the despair of Nineveh, of Jonah? Not wanting to do the will of God that bad? Come on, you can't be that desperate. You can't want to hold on to your will in that situation. And so God prepared a wonderful luxury cruise, 3-day luxury cruise for Jonah. Hallelujah. In the belly of not a luxury liner, but a stinky fish. Oh, I love this. And so Jonah goes on a 3-day, they throw him overboard, the whale swallows him up, he thinks it's the end, I'm done. No, no, God has enough oxygen in the belly of that fish to get you where you need to go. How many know, you may feel like you're in the belly of a whale, but how many know God is in control of the whale? Oh, come on. He's going to get you where you need to be on time. And full of the message of God. Oh, hallelujah. Jonah, bless his heart. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? So he gets belched up on the shores of wherever he was. I don't know how long it took him to get to Nineveh, but he didn't have a shower. He didn't have anything. He just goes. You know, he's. I don't know if he's feeling depressed or not, but he gets meeked, all right. And he goes and he begins to preach in the city of Nineveh. From the start, from the city gates, all the way through the city. I don't know how many days it took him to preach it, but that message of repentance from God, or I will destroy this city, got to the king. When you obey God, you may feel insignificant. When you obey God, you may feel like you can't carry this. You can't do this. But I'm going to tell you, if you will just do the will of God, whatever it is, I'm going to tell you, God will do the rest. He will do the rest. He will do it. So what happens? He preaches. People start repenting. Households repenting. The whole city's repenting. The king is repenting. All of the king's house, from the king to the commoners and to the stalls where the cows were, they're all in sackcloth and ashes, repenting. Woo! There's power in this message. There's power when we humble ourselves. Now, we may not want to go through what Jonah went through. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Instead of being wiped off the face of the earth, the whole city and the king were meeked. They changed their lifestyle, and they were spared to inherit the earth. Now, Jonah could have stayed there and had a revival. I'm sure that his ministry could have expanded to a worldwide ministry, and he wouldn't be taking whales from shore to shore. He would be taking vessels. I don't know what happened to Jonah, but I do know what happened to Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was unlike Jonah in that Jonah knew that he was running from God. Saul didn't know that he was running from God. He just thought he was doing the will of God. And that could be even worse. That could be, when you think the darkness in you is light, how great is that darkness? How great is it? And so being meek is a good thing. It helps you step into the light. It helps you become accountable. And it helps steady your life. And it builds your life upon the rock of God's word. And so Saul, being a religious zealot of Judaism, and Judaism, you know, obviously it led to Christ, all those things, not the traditions, but the law and all of it. We see that in the word of God. But he was persecuting Christians ignorantly, in his zeal, persecuting, killing, consenting to killing Christians for their faith in Jesus Christ. How many know when God has his pointer pointed at you, you're going to be meeked? Everybody say, that was me. Hallelujah. And so on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus met the master of meekness. Remember, Jesus said, I am meek. Come to me, I am meek. The reason why he inherits the nations is because the world, all the nations belong to God, all 195. And God says, I will give them to my son. And I will give them to whom I will for my glory and honor. This is who you serve. This is who we are. And so here's Saul of Tarsus on his way on the road to Damascus, and he meets Jesus. And what happened? You know. He is almost at Damascus. He is going there to throw Christians in the jail, to arrest them. You know, like Nazi. He was like a Nazi, just wanting to kill and destroy life. You will not be honored that way, whoever you are. Not you, but you know, whoever walks in that path. And so here's Saul to end the violence. To end the violence, because he was the one breathing out threatenings. In Acts chapter 9, I love this. Instead of wiping Saul of Tarsus off the face of the earth, here he is in verse 3. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Woo! Hallelujah. Some of you should be shouting right now. How many understand there was a light flash around you? He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, Saul didn't have to guess about it. He didn't have to guess about what he was doing. And Saul says, good question, Saul. Who are you, Lord? This is powerful. I am Jesus. you persecute. Now, so he gets a revelation, but get this. Now, get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. See, that's the meeking process. We don't like to be told what to do. Nobody likes to be told what to do. I'm educated. No, not when it comes to God. You may be educated. You may be an expert in your field, but you need to yield to the master of meekness. Because when you do, you will become the authority in the room at work. Somebody say amen. Like a wild horse who had been meeked, unlike Jonah who went in the opposite direction, Paul, Saul, humbly stumbles his way into Damascus. And what does he do? He doesn't persecute. He doesn't arrest. He prays. He fasts. For 3 days he waited. 3 days. Some of us can't wait 3 minutes with God. 3 days. You talk about breaking you down. It will be told to you what you must do. Well, God, didn't you tell me it will be told? It's 2 days now. He didn't know how long it was going to take. You cannot dictate. I cannot dictate God's process. Just yield to the process. Enjoy the process. And by the way, Saul of Tarsus is blinded now. You don't want a meeking process like that, I'm telling you. I don't want that. I didn't want that. But I was blind. But now I see. Oh, I'm getting ready to jump and shout right now. I haven't been able to do this for 3 weeks. I'm going to do it now. I love preaching the Word of God. I love preaching to those of you who love the Word of God. Come on. That's just me. And so what happened? God says, I'm Ananias, I want you to go to Saul. He's in the street. He's on the street straight. Everybody knows he's there. Just ask where he is. And he didn't say all that, but that's basically what happened. And so Ananias, I heard that he is killing Christians and he's come here to kill us and persecute. God says, go. He is a chosen vessel. Ananias didn't run in the opposite direction because he was walking in the spirit of fear. He rose up and he went. And he entered, and you can read it. It's so powerful. Ananias says, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me here to tell you what you must do. You're a chosen vessel. You are a chosen. How many love prophesy? People prophesying into your. You are a chosen vessel. Don't you get down on yourself or on others. So what happened? He laid his hands on Saul. The scales fell from his eyes. And Saul rose up and was baptized by Ananias. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Filled. I don't know if he spoke in tongues, but Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's just a bubbling up of the Spirit of God. And he preached the message that meeked him. The gospel of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the anointing of Jesus, the breaking process of Jesus. Repent! Because God has the blessed life for you. He has the blessed life for us. And this is what he wants to do. And so, Saul of Tarsus was meeked and he preached. And guess what? He preached everywhere. Perhaps Jonah could have had that ministry, but he preached everywhere. Churches planted. That's why we plant churches. That's why churches are good. It's in the will of God. Read the book of Acts. If people don't understand the church or why you should be planted in the house of the Lord so that you can serve God, so that you can continue to be meek and bear fruit, then I don't know. You're not reading the same Bible that I, but you are. You are. Not you, but them out there. The Christian follower who is meeked lives the blessed life. Now, let me give you two more things and I'll close. What time? Oh, it's only a quarter till. Oh, hallelujah. No. Psalm 139, David is writing this. Let me set this up. So David was a very meek man. Yeah, he had his flaws. Oh, did he ever. But he was a man after the heart of God. And I was watching some of John Paul's message last week. He didn't allow idols to be established in Israel. He kept his heart purely upon the Lord. He had a lot of other faults, obviously some really bad issues there, but he was a man after the heart of God. But in this psalm, we see the meeking process, God's meeking process. And the first half of this psalm that I'm going to read, the part of it that I'm going to read, we see David, how he wants to run, it seems, and flee from the presence of God. But then the second half of this psalm, we see how he is captivated. He is captivated by God, captivated by the will of God. And so let's read it together. You can see it. Psalm 139, starting in verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Don't run from God. If I go up to the heavens, to the mountains, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. You can hide, you can try to hide, but God will find you. And this is where it shifts. This is where he becomes enamored. Notice this. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You got to know who you are and who created you. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well, full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. This is why we're pro-life, because God works in the womb. He is the author of light and life. Your eyes saw my unformed body. This was so interesting. All the days ordained for me were written, listen, in your book before one of them came to be. See, when you have a revelation of God, you understand that your life has purpose. There's something about you that is divine. You are made in the image of God. And yes, I know we're sinners and we're fallen, completely fallen. But oh, how God loves to redeem and meek and convert and bring into his family those who have strayed. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I never have to be worried about, well, where's God? Because he's with me right now. Let me conclude with a brief story of Abraham. And again, this is the blessed life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We see this all the time. God wants you to have houses. God wants you to have lands. God wants His church to be established because it propagates the gospel wherever it is. It brings prosperity wherever it's preached. It brings the light of God, the glory of God. This is how God has chosen for Christians to inherit the earth. It's just not the meek. It is Christians that will inherit the earth. I got two amens and a clap from my worship leader over here. Come on. Yes. Yes. So we're doing it now. The meek shall inherit the earth. See, Abraham was what? He was the friend of God. And see, we don't know how or when Abraham was meeked by God, but he was. And this is how I know that. God said to him in Genesis 12:1, go from your country, from your people, from your father's house, all that is familiar, to a land that I will show you. Who wants to do that? Who wants to do that? And so Abraham does. He doesn't question God. It's no record of him. You know, it would have been understandable had he done it, but Abraham packed it up. He packed it up, got everything ready, got everything prepared, didn't even know where he was going. And see, this is the assignment of the meek. And meekness is not weakness, by the way. Abraham packed it up not knowing where he was going. Come on up here, worship team. Or what land that he would inherit. But he went. And of course, he inherited the land. And this is where Jesus will take ground when he returns. This is where Jesus will reign and rule the earth. Let me finish by saying this. Everybody ready? Say, hurry up and finish, Pastor. Hurry up and finish, Pastor. No. All right, thank you. You are so kind. Amen. I am concluding, though. Choose meekness. Just choose it. Choose a willingness. Say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I yield to you. I know that the enemy would try to distract me and get me out of your will by this storm, by what I'm facing, by this shaking in my life, but I know that everything in my life that can be shaken will be shaken because this is the meeking process that you have chosen. I'm so glad that you get to a place where there's no more shaking. There's no more stubble, Michael. There's nothing that God wants to burn up. Aren't you glad for that? That you're just serving, you're loving Jesus, you're loving your family, you're working hard, you're being the saint that God wants you to be. That is the called out one, the one that is saying yes to Him. You're looking for a yes. You're waiting for, here's what I want you to do next. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is God's process. When you know you're doing really well in the meeking process, when you're just looking, God, what do you want to do next? Woo! Oh! Jesus said this, and this, it won't be up on the screen, I don't think, but Matthew 11:28, come to me. Come to me now. Come to me right now. Bring those lights down, Dave. I tell you, the Spirit of God is moving right now. Come to me now. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Why? Because you're trying to do it in your own self. You can't. Don't. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Everybody say learn. Because that's the process. Learn from me. From me. From my Holy Spirit that I sent to you to dwell in your heart, to teach you all things, to show you things to come. To teach you my word, for I am meek. and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Is your soul in turmoil? Your mind, your will, are you just questioning everything? God, I don't understand. I don't understand it. I don't understand it, Lord. Why? But I bow my knee and my will to you. Amen. And I am standing right here, God. I will not be moved. Lift your hands. God is calling you to great things. You can't skirt the meeking process. You can't do it. I'm not saying I'm perfect, far from it. But you're going to look back and say, it sure took us a long time to get here, but we got here. We got here. You can get there. Don't resist. Yield. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come. And I'm going to give you an invitation to pray with somebody today. Be obedient. Choose obedience, not obstinance. I mean, in every single area, in every single moment of your life, I am yielded to God. That is my first priority. It isn't worship. It is yieldedness. I can't worship God unless I'm yielded. If I have things floating around in my brain that are evil or that are sinful, got to get rid of that junk. Somebody say amen. Here's Nathan right here. Look at Nathan. Nathan has been a servant. He got saved in this house. He got saved when he was a young man. He was in youth group. He has served in the children's church without fanfare. For years on Wednesday night, he has served in Rangers ministry. Somebody say amen. Serve without fanfare. Hallelujah. And then he goes through the healing ministry. Of, you know, this precious ministry, inner healing, led by Lori, Pastor Lori. And I mean, the meeking process doesn't end, by the way. There were things in Nate, man, that he realized that should not be there, and God set him free. And here he is, ready to pray for you. Hey, somebody. Hey, somebody. See, I'm telling you, these are testimonies up here. Every single one of you are testimonies. I release the faith of God in you to believe that God's goodness is following you and he's leading you. Was it not good that God knocked Saul off the horse? Was it not good that he blinded him? Was it not good that he made him wait for 3 days? Was it not good that God put Jonah in the well and spewed him out on the shores? Was it not good? It was good. Father, what you're about to do in the lives of people at this altar call, I give you thanks. Choose your prayer station. Inner healing, salvation, or praying for the lost that you want to see saved. Prophetic prayer. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Oh, like Saul of Tarsus. Instead of breathing out threatenings, he's breathing out tongues. Ooh. Baptism. I'm going to count to three. Choose your station. One, two, three. Come on.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great. And your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on.